Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump.
I love BJ's
fur circus.
Steven Ricker's testicles.
T-butted.
Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La, 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, live from the studio, regardless of what Michael Shockley says on Facebook, it is time.
We are alive.
We are live.
And in the studio.
Iceman Insight, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. How are you doing today, Michael?
I am certainly alive.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Alive in the studio.
Regardless of the lies that you put all over Facebook, no facts to back it up.
Right. So it fits right in on Facebook.
Yeah, it is true.
I can say whatever I want. It doesn't matter if it's true or not.
I was talking about it tonight at hockey class. I mean, last night. So anyway, since our last show, we've been winning.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say. We can move right along.
Yeah, it'll be a 10-minute show. Friday at Indy, a 4-3 shootout loss for the Iceman. Trailed 3-1, but came back to force overtime and then...
Oh, yeah, I forgot we lost that one.
Yeah. Then lost the shootout 4-2. Miles Bell had two goals and an assist and one of our two shootout goals, and Cale Kerbashian had a goal and two assists. Meanwhile, though, in Fort Wayne, Kalamazoo beat the Comets 3-1 that night, which was the first regulation loss of the season for the Comets, and that officially meant that the Icemen were the last team in the ECHL without a regulation loss.
Unfortunately, Kalamazoo now has the Hoosier belt, and they refuse to return it.
They hit Fort Wayne over the head with a chair.
Yes,
and stole
the belt. That's right. So now it's a battle between them and Toledo.
Yeah. Saturday, the Icemen and Fuel tangled again here in Evansville. A 4-3 overtime victory for the Icemen. Fell behind 3-1 again and did not look good in doing so. Indy was up 1-0 and had 13 shots on goal before the Icemen registered their first shot on goal.
We're just letting them wear themselves out.
Yeah, that's it. But played a very solid third period, good energy, scored twice to force overtime again, and in overtime, Brandon Wong scored 2 minutes and 20 seconds into the extra session to complete the comeback. Earlier in the game, Patrick Kennedy had a goal and an assist.
Mr. President.
Had a goal and an assist, and his goal was on a 6-on-5 during a delayed Indy penalty, which, for those who are new to the game, that does not officially count as a power play goal in the statistics, even though it essentially was. Guy Lapine had 2 assists and was +2, and Donnie Harris 2 assists and +3. And in that game, one of the linesmen was the man crush, Matty Spaeth, so the Icemen are 1-0 on the season with him in the stripes.
He's a good luck charm.
They went 5-1-2 with Matty Spaeth in the house last year.
That's right. He got his skate sharpened and free coffee, so he was all ready to go. A little bit of lunch over at Backstage Bar and Grill. What about Patrick Kennedy?
But he is just so good.
Spend the $1,500, $1,600 to get your Kennedy jersey. He is not going to be here long. He's going to be gone. He's going up to the AHL. He was awesome last year. He went up to Utica. He's playing even better now. He's so solid.
What's the over-under on the date he gets called up?
Let's say Christmas.
You think he'll last here till then?
Well, I think that's just a good point. Just a good time reference.
I'll say Thanksgiving.
All right.
Just because I think, regardless of how well he's playing, at some point Utica's going to have an injury and they're going to come calling.
They might. So.
I hope he's here until Christmas and beyond, but I don't expect it.
Nope, I don't either. That's what I'm saying. Buy your jersey early. Bid high.
So Wednesday against Elmira.
What a great victory.
Wasn't it something?
And obviously Kennedy again starting off the game with the first two goals in the first period.
I know.
Awesome.
Yeah. I thought the best thing was Coach Mullins came out wearing an Elmira Jackals t-shirt and then ripped it off Hulk Hogan style.
Hey, whatever.
Revealed an Iceman shirt underneath. Yep. That was, talk about turning on your old team.
I liked it. It's all about getting the kids all pumped up and then the whole team doing Gangnam style before the start of the game.
That was awesome. Yep. I enjoyed the lookalike cam on the Jumbotron when they showed Patrick McBrien and Mr. Ed and none of the kids got it. They're like, who's that?
That was a funny moment.
Wasn't it? But maybe the best was to appeal to the kids when did you see when Ryan Huff, Aaron Miller, and Jacob Franklin Esquire III came dressed as 3/5 of One Direction?
No, I missed that part. I must have been in the bathroom.
They were something.
So yeah, I saw. Yeah, actually, Ryan Huff got off the bus with the kids. So I guess instead of going to USI, he just decided to get on his old high school bus and take it downtown.
He can handle the math.
Yep. No one thought any different.
Yeah, he just blended right in.
Yep. So, yes, great win for the Iceman. And here we go. Iceman.
My ears are still ringing from all the kids screaming.
Indeed, indeed. Iceman transactions.
On Friday, Halloween, the Iceman acquired a forward named Wes Myron from Tulsa for future considerations. He's a 22-year-old from Victoria, B.C., was a sixth-round pick of the Vancouver Canucks in 2012. He did not end up signing an NHL deal, though. Bounced around a little bit the last couple years. He's played 28 games with the Kalamazoo Wings, had 11 points in those games. Started this year with Tulsa, had one assist in three games before the trade, and he made his Iceman debut Friday at Indy. So far, I think he looks pretty decent.
Yep. Obviously, we've had a couple of those future considerations in our pocket, so now we spend one. I forget, what does Brad Perkins want to call him? Like Roger? Chuck. Yes.
That's the player to be named later is Chuck. I like Roger, though. That's good.
One of our Chucks just got traded to Tulsa, so we only have one Chuck left, and we traded a Chuck.
So we were up a Chuck, and now we're down a Chuck?
That's right.
Gotcha. Okay.
And there's a possibility by the end of the season, none Chucks.
Wow.
That's right.
I see what you did there.
That was pretty impressive.
That was beautiful. You're the radio ninja.
Ooh, I like that.
Brandon Wong activated from reserve before Friday's game and, as mentioned, scored the OT game winner on Saturday.
All because of my skate sharpening.
Yeah, he's going to be a key contributor going forward. And why don't you tell the folks about the skate sharpening prowess that you have provided him?
Well, yeah. In some sense, you can call it prowess. In some sense, you can call it, holy crap, what am I going to do? He was on one of the craziest rockers profiles of a skate that I have ever seen.
By his choosing or someone's mistake?
By design.
Really?
By design. So he came to me and he's like, I'm not exactly sure what we did here, but... Can you fix it? So it's not actually; it's still a work in progress. But quickly, no one will understand it except for my brother. But really, really aggressive toe design with a lot of the toe cut away, and then a large mid to heel flattening out circle. So. Yeah, crazy. I actually moved the profile back, the point of center. I moved it back an extra half of an inch, and so we're going in the right direction.
So for those who don't understand the finer points of skate sharpening, why would he have had such an unusual cut?
He has almost everyone, 90% of people are, you throw them in a pair of skates off of the shelf, everything's going to be fine. But when you get to this level, you have guys that have very interesting strides. And they need that stride because that's where they generate power, that's where they generate finesse. And so they use a specified blade design to amplify their abilities so that they can play at this level. And he has a really interesting stride where a lot of his heel stays on. Usually when you're stepping out, when you're striding out, your heel comes up and you're actually pushing off with the toe.
Right.
But he actually is down low and back, so he's actually powering longer off of his heel, so he needs more steel back there and then a very small toe area because he's just picking up his foot to replant it.
Huh.
Yep.
That's weird. I guess it's just how he was taught to skate.
Somehow, some way, he picked it up, and that's the way he skates, and he needs a blade that matches that.
Huh. So once he needs another skate sharpening, is he going to come back to you again?
I think. Well, we actually haven't even perfected what he's done yet. No.
You're still figuring it out.
Once it's done, anyone can sharpen it, but yeah, we're still modifying the blade until he gets it to where he wants it.
But you'll be serving Wong because you are the radio ninja.
I am. Gotcha. Nunchucks.
Also on Friday, Yakub Sulek reassigned.
No one names their son Yakub. It's Jacob.
It's Jakob.
It's Jacob.
It's Jake.
We can call him.
We'll
Jake.
Call him Jazzy J.
But Yakub is not right. I don't care what he says. His mom did not name him.
It was
Jakob.
What was it? JC Smooth. That's what we named him last show. JC Smooth.
He's already gone. Well, no even reason to go to the rink anymore.
He's back.
Oh.
Yes. J.C. Smooth reassigned to Binghamton by Ottawa, and Danny Hobbs recalled by Binghamton on Friday. Binghamton had three forwards go down with injuries, so they needed reinforcements. Both Sulek and Hobbs played for the BSNs on Friday and Saturday, but on Tuesday, Sulek was returned to the Icemen by Ottawa.
Awesome. Now there's a reason to go to the Ford Center.
There you go. Andre Bouvet-Morissette did not play Friday or Saturday. He sustained a shoulder injury late in the October 25th game against Indy. Doubtful this weekend and hopes to return next week.
One of the nice things about having all that depth at forward is you got a guy banged up. You don't got to force him back into the lineup.
Yep.
And just take our time and get him healthy so that he can...
Get back to doing what he does.
Well, yeah, so that he can produce when Jacob Sulek is gone again and Patrick Kennedy.
Randy Cure played Friday and Saturday, but did play sparingly on Saturday. He started the game on the third defense pairing with Zach Sternberg, but disappeared as the game went on. Zach Curry had started the game as the 10th forward. But then he shifted back to D with Sternberg as the game went on. And on Iceman Live on Monday, Coach Mullins was asked about the status of Randy Cure. And his response was he's, quote, well rested, and that Curry was just playing really well, which is coach speak for it was a coaching decision. Cure is still healthy. The switch was entirely about performance. And we've seen Zach Curry play before, and I don't have a problem with seeing more of him.
Super solid captain of that Quinnipiac team in 2 years ago that went to the NCAA championship game, and we saw him when he came in and played with Lauren Barron. He does everything perfectly. I mean, he's just a textbook defenseman.
And isn't Brandon Wong also a Quinnipiac?
Yes, he
guy?
Is. Yep. He was a senior when Barron and Langlois were freshmen. I don't remember about Curry.
He was in there somewhere.
Yep.
He's probably along the same lines as Barron. I think they're about the same age. All right. And then Monday, this past Monday, Dirk Southern, may his awesome name rest in peace, announced his retirement citing personal reasons. He did play on Friday and Saturday and scored a goal on Saturday, but apparently just came to a crossroads in his career. Coach Mullins on Iceman Live said that his talks with Dirk during the summer were really positive, but lately he just seemed different and real quiet. He had an injury during training camp that was causing problems, and he felt like he needed to take a step back and evaluate things. Apparently he struggled with the decision, but ultimately decided it's time to move on to the next chapter in his life.
Yep, and it's true. And it just, it's an easy game to play when you're making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But when you are not making millions of dollars and you got to start thinking about the future, I remember sitting on the bus last year talking with Matt Shepke and him going back and forth. He was going to have that veteran status on him, which meant there was only jobs at that time, 44 jobs available for him in the league. and you start thinking about, when do I finish my schooling? When do I get in on the ground floor of some business I want to work at and start my second career? Because you have to.
Yeah.
You have to face that reality, because the end is coming quicker than the beginning.
Yeah, and these guys aren't retiring on their hockey money.
No, no, not at all.
They're barely making a living on their
most
hockey
of
money.
Them, if they just go and manage a rink or something, they'll be getting paid more money than what they're getting paid now. So, but then again, you know, of course, Bill Nadeau, he's six figures over there with City Evansville. He's high six figures, but regardless.
You can't spell dollar bill without Bill.
But yeah,
you call him $1 million Bill Nadeau.
It's just tough, and it's sad to see a guy like that go, and you hate to see guys give up on the hockey dream, but it's part of life, especially at this level.
Yeah, and as we learned on the Maniac Asylum, it of course, his retirement means that Coach Mullins is hard to play for.
Oh, well, heck yeah. Who would want to work with that guy?
Yeah, I know.
Regardless of what everyone said when he got hired and everyone was praising him. And my phone was getting texts from guys all over the league saying, I can't believe you guys pulled that off. He's an amazing guy. And that's from opponents. So, yep, definitely. He's a tough guy to play for. Worst coach we've ever had here. He is worse than, who was that, Jason Collins? Jason Reichert.
Jason Collins?
Jason
Collins.
That's
the basketball player.
Yeah, well, I got Coach
Collins.
Yeah,
Jason Reichert.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Mullins, worse than him. Yep. Oh, that's me. anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got a question about the roster. You got a question about the health of somebody. You got a question about who Coach Mullins has run out of town now. You can just check it out on IcemanManiacs.com. Just click on over to the Maniac message board for the updated roster. We're going to get in trouble for that line. Someone's going to get upset at that. We are joking. We are joking. Yes, I am joking.
All right. Now it's time, as alluded to last week, for a brand new segment.
Yes.
And it's going to be awesome.
There are times when they say it all the time. It's typical coach speak. Someone goes down. There's an opening on the roster. You got to step up. Someone's got to step up. Next guy in line's got to step up. Well, I'm stepping up.
You're stepping up.
That's right.
You know, the first time certain wonderful things happen in your life, you remember.
Birth of a child. The process that went into birthing a child.
Yeah, exactly. That was what I was thinking about.
I know what you were thinking. Everyone knew what you were thinking about.
Uh-huh. Bum chicka wow wow.
Taters.
Yes, you will remember where you were the first time you heard this segment. So here we are, 100% free of facts, because the truth hurts way more than making stuff up. This is Mad Speculation by the Mad Scientist, Dr. Dirty D.
Not worried about facts anymore. You give me, back in the day, we had the Shockinator 9000 keeping track of all our injuries.
And it blew up
last year. We had what was the drugstore? Paul's Pharmacy injury update with Brian Patafi, and we were getting help from OA on interviews, but all that's dried up. So now it is time for Mad Speculation.
Exactly.
And I am just the Mad Scientist Dirty D to speculate madly.
All right, so the case this week. Peter Sakaris started the season on injured reserve. We have never been told what was wrong with him. When asked what was wrong with him, Coach Mullins has been very vague, and on Iceman Live this week, he just said he's, quote, ready to go, without saying what the injury actually was, or is, or was. So, Mr. Mad Scientist, Dr. Dirty D, I need a diagnosis. What was Peter Sakaris' ailment?
Peter Sakaris was struggling with a lower body injury. It's a specific rare muscle group, and it is referred to as somnambulism. Somnambulism. And what Patafi has designed for him is an antiseptic bloodbath. So the cure is the antiseptic bloodbath. The somnambulism tests have come back negative, I think, if that's a good thing, and we should be seeing him soon. So he's all cured from his somnambulism.
Really?
Yes.
How do you spell that? Somnambulism?
Yes, exactly. Shockers, Hockey Rocks, Song of the Week.
Boy, that was an abrupt change. You're trying to, you want me to save you?
Hey, no.
Moving on.
You can bring all kinds of injuries to me.
Okay.
I'll even diagnose retirements and Nathan Moon issues if you want me to madly speculate.
We performed a moonectomy.
All right. Came up with a chook.
In honor of Dirk Southern's retirement, I think it's a good time to feature a band from his hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba. This is a song I played at Swander at the first whistle after Iceman goals on occasion. It's from 1974, a band a lot of people probably didn't know is from Winnipeg, Manitoba. BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive, taking care of business.
Get a bit. Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we are back. Segment 2, Iceman Insights, starring the Shocker, Michael Shockley, Dirty D, 96.9 FM, Wired Radio.
The Alive.
The Hoosier Hockey Championship belt, already alluded to. We already covered this. Yeah. Why don't we just move on?
Yeah, it's quick. Both of this past weekend's Iceman Fuel games were non-title affairs, so Fort Wayne still rightfully owns the championship belt, even though Kalamazoo stole it. Up next, we have three straight weekends without a game in the state. The Comets will next defend the title against Indy in Fort Wayne on Thanksgiving Day.
I liked what you saw. I thought Indy did a good job with their schedule, playing all these games so quick. They've played, what, 7 or 8 games? The Icemen have only played 4.
Yeah, they are.
But you saw the chemistry. So even though they're an expansion club, they don't have the most depth on their roster, but because they've played so many games, kind of shell-shocked the Icemen both Friday night in their building and Saturday back here at the Ford Center, and that chemistry will go a long way. They almost, they got 3 points out of the 4 out of it.
Well, and I thought Coach Mullins talked on Icemen Live about how, based on how Friday's game went on the fly going into Saturday's game, Indy changed the way it tried to play the game, and they were trying to dictate a different pace that they thought, and clearly for 2 periods it worked, would work against the Icemen. And it took the Icemen some time on Saturday to catch up to what Indy had done. And, yeah, that's something that if they'd only played 3 or 4 games as we had, they may not have been able to do that, but they're getting that cohesion on their roster to where they can start making those game-to-game and period-to-period adjustments, and they're only going to get better. They got some talented players. Yep.
But the rest of the league will catch up, too.
That's true. Yeah, everyone's going to get better as the season goes on. So they have an uphill battle, but they're going to win their fair share of games.
You know who's really going to be good this year? The Florida Everblades. You know why? Alan York.
Yes.
Tell us about it. News around the ECHL, Michael Shockley.
ECHL goaltender of the week for the week of October 27th to November 2nd was former Iceman netminder Alan York, who is now with those Florida Everblades.
Fantastic and professional. Absolutely love that.
They are 5-1-1. York made 27 saves in a 4-2 victory at Orlando on Friday and then shut out the same Solar Bears at home on Saturday.
Nothing new for any Toronto Maple Leaf fan or fan of their affiliates.
He made 24 saves in the shutout. He is under contract to the Syracuse Crunch, which is, I love that name, under AHL contract this season. Seems like he's old and been around forever, but he's still only 25 years old with just 92 career games played in the NHL, AHL, and ECHL. And like you said, consummate professional, no matter what some folks on the asylum may think.
Well,
we've been down that road, so we'll move on.
Idaho Steelheads.
They have won 5 straight games and are now atop the Western Conference at 6-1. Just swept a 3-game series with Stockton, Rich Crum's Stockton Thunder.
Yep.
They beat him 3-0 on Wednesday, 5-4 on Friday. Wade McLeod, former Iceman, had 2 goals in that game.
The Highlander.
And then Saturday, the Steelheads thumped them 8-3, and McLeod had 3 assists in that game.
The Highlander.
Rich Crum's Stockton Thunder are now 3-5 on the season.
Not worried.
Yeah, it's a little early to get worried.
Yep. And they're not a good of a team, except for when they steal Jeremy Langlois from us right before the playoffs, rat bastards.
Can you say that?
I just did.
You'll find out.
I will find out.
And tonight, when Ontario visits Stockton, Ontario Reign coach Jason Christie will become just the 4th coach in ECHL history to coach 800 games in the league. The other 3 are ECHL Hall of Famers John Marks and John Brophy and former Iceman head coach Jeff Pyle. Christie spent 5 years with the Peoria Rivermen when they were in the ECHL and then 3 years with the Utah Grizzlies. He is now in his 4th season with the Ontario Reign, and if the name Jason Christie sounds familiar, there's a reason. Before taking over with the Reign, he spent one season as head coach of the Bloomington Prairie Thunder in the CHL, and he was actually the opposing coach in the final Iceman game ever played at Swander. And the Iceman won that game 1-0 on March 26, 2011. So it's not actually a segment this week, but there's a little skate down memory lane.
Yeah, and it works out well because that segment inspired by Johnny Kells in studio with us this afternoon.
Yeah, I knew I smelled something. There's a Blackhawks fan in here.
Yep. Boy, they've been losing like crazy, too. Took it on the chin from the Leafs. But then again,
who do they think they are, the Leafs?
And it is the weaker Western Conference, and they do struggle against the more dominant Eastern Conference. What this segment, you got a typo here. What did we call this? The oh no's and the BS?
That's what you wanted to call it.
That's what I am calling it.
We are checking in on our AHL affiliate, the Binghamton Senators, this week. No report on Ottawa.
Thank goodness.
The bad news.
Do I owe you like 10 bucks for that?
For not talking about Ottawa.
Exactly.
The bad news, yes, you do owe me 10 bucks.
Who could even root for Ottawa? How
Brand Patafi.
How bad do you have to be? Oh, I was thinking Lindsay Mabry. That's where I was going with my don't call me Mabry joke was going. But anyways.
The bad news for the B-Sens is they went 1-2 in the past week. They're now 3-5-2 and dead last in the AHL's Eastern Conference.
Can I cheer? Sure. No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't. They are our affiliate.
The good news is B-Sens defenseman Chris Weidman, who I mentioned on last week's show, continues to light up the score sheet for them. He was named AHL Player of the Week for last week and AHL Player of the Month for October. He had a four-goal week and finished the weekend second in the entire league among forwards and defensemen in both goals with 7 and points with 13. He has scored a goal in 4 straight games, which is no small feat for a defenseman.
Nope. I can't even do that in the team league with the Red Dragons.
And he has notched a point in 9 straight games. And as I mentioned last week, Weidman is a St. Louis native and a tie locally to some former Icemen. He played college at Miami of Ohio, and his teammates included Trent Vogelhuber and Will Weber, as well as current Indy Fuel goaltender and former Fort Wayne Comets goaltender Cody Reichert.
How about that?
Yeah.
That must have been a pretty awesome team for Miami of Ohio. Hockey 101.
All right, helping fans new and old alike understand the game a little bit better. This is spurred by something that was posted on Facebook. After Saturday's game against Indy, Jason Patrick Roberts posted a photo of a post-whistle scrum behind the Fuel net, which you later reposted on Man Crush's wall.
Yeah, I stole it.
And in response to that photo, Chris Edwards, who I believe is a newer Iceman fan, commented that he did not like how Ty Wishart and Troy Rutkowski just stood out at the blue line during the skirmish. And he said that he thought that if there was any camaraderie, they would have jumped in and helped their teammates in what was essentially a 5-on-3 pushing and shoving match. So I responded by explaining why the D stayed out at the blue line and figured it would be a good thing to explain here on the show, too.
Indeed.
So in the NHL, AHL, ECHL, all pro leagues, there's
USA Hockey as well,
there is a rule that stipulates that if the defensemen come in to join a skirmish that is at or behind the net, the ensuing faceoff comes outside the zone.
So you negate an offensive scoring chance on a faceoff.
Correct.
When the defensemen come in past the top of the circles.
Right. So the rule is aimed at preventing big line brawls. Usually the fracas will fizzle out on its own and never really escalate beyond pushing and shoving. Before the rule was instituted, though, the D would almost always join in, flying Sasquatch style.
Yeah.
And more of the extracurricular stuff would turn into all-out brawls. But now, because of the rule, the D will usually stay out of it. And it's not because of apathy or a lack of team cohesion or camaraderie. It's totally about not wanting to sacrifice that important offensive zone faceoff unless the situation really calls for it.
Right. And no one wants to risk ending up in Chateau Bow Wow.
With the coach.
With the coach because you're pressing and you've got all the momentum, you're looking to score a goal, the game's tied or you're down a goal, and then you piss away an offensive scoring chance on a face-off because you went in to play Smell My Glove with some knucklehead in the corner.
Right, and accomplish nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. It does still happen sometimes, especially if it's not a close game. If, you know, if it's a three-goal game, then moving that face-off may not affect things so much. And even in a close game, if the pushing and shoving gets really out of hand and guys that see their teammates are getting taken advantage of, they will not be totally against going in and helping out. But in general, they'll hang out by the blue line until they really feel like they can't anymore. But it's one of the game's nuances. It's one of those things that comes into play a lot, but you don't typically notice it or understand it until someone explains it to you. Yep. If you just watch a lot of hockey on TV, you don't even usually see it.
Yeah, because they zoom
in
angle. On
right. Yep. They zoom in where the fracas is, and you don't even see that two of the defensemen are just hanging out at, you know, out by the neutral zone. So it's one of those things that I totally understand why newer fans don't get it, which it just fit this segment perfectly.
Yep,
so
it does.
There you go.
Upcoming games.
Three games over the next week, two of them at home on Friday night. The Wheeling Nailers come to town for the first time this season at 7:15. It will be the first of two youth jersey giveaway nights, and the Special Education Day jerseys will be auctioned off after Friday night's game. They're not. They didn't do the auction today because, you know,
yeah.
Who's there? All these kids going to throw their lunch money?
I saved my $5 of my lunch money to get my Patrick Kennedy jersey.
Right. So the auction will be after the game on Friday, and the jerseys look really cool.
Yeah. Wheeling struggling a little bit, not clicking. They had a great run in the playoffs last year. About a 500 team right now. I'm sure they'll get going in the right direction, but...
it's early.
Yep, it's early, and they're not clicking on all cylinders yet.
After playing at home on Friday, the Icemen will hit the road Saturday.
They will hit the road Friday night
after
the game.
Yeah. Which means that auction is probably going to be sped along as quickly as possible.
Oh, they got an auction too?
Yeah.
Rough schedule.
Saturday at Toledo, the first of three trips to Toledo this year, and I thought it was interesting. It will be frozen night in Toledo. Anna and Elsa will be there taking pictures with the kids, and girls are asked to wear princess dresses. And when I heard this, I was like, boy, we need to do that because Ivy would be all over it.
Well, actually...
Is she not a fan?
She is a fan, but there's this whole everyone was so crazy, and now there's peer pressure, even at the seven-year-old level, not to like it anymore.
Really? It became too cool?
It became too cool, so she has informed me that she doesn't like it anymore, and I am no longer allowed to sing Let It Go.
Really?
Yes, around the house. I usually get kicked in the shin or punched in the
Wait a minute.
Gut.
So you... go around the house singing.
Oh yes,
singing Idina Menzel.
Yes,
or as John Travolta calls her.
Yes, I do. Just to drive my daughter crazy. But if it's on or there's an Elsa book at the store, she'll sit down and read it and watch it and everything else.
So
peer pressure only goes so far.
Right. So in a vacuum, she's fine with being a Frozen fan.
Yes.
But when there's other girls around,
yes.
No, I'm off that.
But
I
quit at
cold turkey.
What was funny is she got a Frozen dress. An Elsa dress about 2 months ago, and then for Halloween she didn't want to be Elsa. So
did you wear it?
No, but we went online and bought her. The only thing she wanted was an Iceland dress. What's an Iceland dress? A Frozen knockoff dress about a princess named Iceland. So that's what she wore.
Well,
and everyone said, "Oh, are you Elsa?" And she said, "No, I'm Princess Iceland." So, whatever, girls.
Yeah.
Love them.
And then Tuesday, November 11th, next Tuesday, the Icemen will be back home hosting the Orlando Solar Bears at 7:15. It is Military Appreciation Night, which is fitting since Tuesday is Veterans Day.
Yep. I got to see if I can cancel my class so I can go to that.
Oh, yeah, you got to work on that.
Yep. The Dangling Tangent.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
In français.
Yeah.
Oui, oui. Inspired by
I went already.
Very, very good. Inspired by Education Day, simple question: what was your favorite school field trip as a kid?
Man, I can't. We didn't have too many that I can think of.
Did they have cars back then?
Yes. In fifth grade, we went to the Henry Ford Museum.
Really?
Yep, in Detroit. And then in sixth grade, we did camp, 5-day camp.
Ooh.
And I think that was kind of like the highlight of the year was going to camp. So probably camp was my favorite field trip. I can't really remember. This was, I mean, we're talking 70s here. There wasn't too many field trips that I can remember. So think that's about the only...
You can't remember much about back then, can you?
No, I can remember quite a bit, but I don't remember any field trips. I also don't remember any parents around. I do remember seeing a lot of beer cans. A lot of beer cans everywhere you went. So, but yeah, I would have to say summer camp or sixth grade camp. And probably my favorite memory was you did like this quick little orienteering class, reading maps and compasses. Hmm. And then they drove you out on this two-track with like nine kids. And then and a, two counselors, and you had to find your way back to camp.
Nice.
And we showed up to camp. We walked all over the place, and we showed up back at lunch, and everyone cheered, and we thought we broke the record for quickest ever back. We were gone like an hour and a half.
You were the last one.
We were the worst.
They were glad you didn't get lost.
I think the counselors got in trouble. So, yep.
But they Fantastic. Let you find your way back, right?
Exactly.
They didn't help.
Huh. No, they were.
They had to help.
They had no idea what they were doing either.
The blind leading the blind.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's good.
What's your favorite school trip as a kid?
I think I have two. The first one was when I was in middle school. We went to Kings Island. I went to school in Indy, and we went over to Cincinnati and went to Kings Island, and that was a lot of fun. And the thing that I remember most about that was one of our chaperones was one of the computer lab guys, and he was like straight out of college and he was enjoying himself. The problem was he was scared of heights, and Kings Island is not the park you want to go to if you're scared of heights. I'm scared of heights too, so I just didn't ride a lot of this stuff. But he rode along because he was a chaperone, so he felt like he needed to. So there was one of those straight up where it takes you all the way up, just straight up, and then it drops you down rides. I don't remember what it was called. Kind of like Holiday World's Liberty Launch, yep, but about three times as high. So he decided to ride this with all the students. So he gets all the way up to the top, and it was one of those where it gets to the top, and then it drops about 2 feet and then stops again to fake you out. Well, he gets to the top, and it drops 2 feet, stops again, and it was a bunch of students. We're not expecting anything colorful to come out of the mouth of a chaperone. And at the top of his lungs from 200 feet up in the air, he yells, "Oh, F me." And everyone heard it. And like, we were all laughing so hard at that point that the drop didn't end up affecting us at all. The best thing about the whole day was hearing a chaperone say, "Oh, F me." And he didn't say F either.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Fudge.
But yeah, fudge. That's what he said. My other one was in high school. I was in French club, which that was wonderful times. But one of our annual things was, or every other year, I think, the French club would take a trip to Chicago. And it wasn't just a trip, it was a train trip. So we would ride an Amtrak train from Indy to Chicago, which if you ever want to turn a 3-hour trip into a 6-hour trip, take a train.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It's one of those things I think everyone should do at least once, is take a few-hour trip by train, because it's really unique and it's a really neat experience. But I wouldn't want to do it on a regular basis. But that was a lot of fun. We went to Chicago and went up the Sears Tower, or Willis Tower as it is now, and went to museums and things like that, and Navy Pier. And Chicago, Mr. Johnny Kells, is one of those cities that I would not want to live in, but it is fun to visit.
I went there this past summer. It was awesome. We did everything. The museum, the aquarium, walked all over the city, ate Dunkin' Donuts. what else today? Oh, and then it was there on July 1st, so it was...
Was it one of the military days?
No, it was Free Agent Day.
Oh!
In the NHL. So it worked out perfect that my mother-in-law, my wife, and my daughter and niece went to the American Girl Doll Museum something or other, and I found a pub and drank beers and watched all the free agent stuff coming in, so...
And bemoaned your Leafs not doing
much. Oh, no, I don't want them to do anything. We're failing this year. We're in a rebuild. They played it perfect. Well, I did bemoan Steven Robida in his 3-year contract. Steven Robida.
What is Robida? What's the English version of Robida? It's Steven instead of Stefan, so what's the English for Robida?
Robbie Das. Steven Robbie Das.
There you go.
Anyways, also dangling tangent, since this segment seems to be longer than the whole show, my father-in-law, for his 50th wedding anniversary, again, totally mismanages everything and screws the whole thing up, and then finally decides what mom and I want to do, and we're going to take you with us, is we're going to travel by train to Seattle.
From?
Here.
Evansville.
Yeah.
Evansville to Seattle.
On a train. Are you freaking crazy?
We don't even have train service here.
Well, I think they're going to go up to Chicago and then go across. I'm like, that's going to take seven days on a train.
Yeah.
No, no, it's only 500 miles or whatever. It's only X amount of miles. I'm like, I've done that drive before. There's no way I'm doing it on a train.
What is that, like a 20-hour drive? Probably more than that.
No, Evansville to Seattle, I did it in. It's a 42-hour drive. I did on the way there, I did it in 44 hours. On the way back, I did it in 57 hours. And then I felt like crap for a week afterwards.
44-hour drive.
Yep.
Which
means another guy.
By train, that's, every bit of 7-8 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, thank you.
Why on earth would you want to do that?
Because he's my father-in-law. Final thoughts.
Wow. The podcast version of today's show will be up tomorrow afternoon, Thursday afternoon. And then our next show is next week, correct?
It is correct.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to do, we'll have a nice fresh Tuesday night game to talk about on Wednesday.
Come over after the game and hang out and...
Yep, live it up.
And then go on live on Wednesday.
Exactly, the way we do it. He is Michael Shockley. He is the senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. For all the information you need about your Evansville Iceman, do you go to the asylum? Oh, Hades, no.
Well, you can.
You will be led astray, and more than likely you will get in trouble with the warden, Chris Phillips. And do you go to the newspaper? Do they even realize we're playing hockey yet? We're not sure. But regardless, if you need up-to-date information injury-wise, roster-wise, schedule-wise on your Iceman, you go to IcemanManiacs.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Are you done?
I think so.
Okay. Do you want to tell folks what this show has been?
Oh, you've been listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, WYIR.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.